Though the screen says that our text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, we're going to go there in just a minute, and if you've already turned there, hold that place and turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34, as we begin to think about the strength of weakness. The context here in Hebrews chapter 11 is, of course, calling to mind those great heroes of faith, and the latter part of the chapter, or mid to latter part, tells of some of the things that they endured. Verse 32 says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." Were made strong out of weakness. That's an interesting phrase there. Made strong out of weakness. Our culture today is big on strength, strong things, mighty and powerful. The stronger it is, the better it is. The stronger you are, the better you are. Those with weaker personalities are sometimes looked down on. For all kinds of things, we see this emphasis on strength. The very idea that there could be strength in weakness. What do you suppose the writer means there in Hebrews 11 when he speaks of those folks who did all of those great and mighty things, and one of the things that he mentions in the list is were made strong in weakness? I'd like for us to investigate that a little bit, and we'll go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as we look at some things that Paul said here. I've always pictured in my mind the Apostle Paul as being a very strong man. Not strong physically in the sense necessarily that we would picture Samson or Goliath, but I've always kind of pictured him, and I don't have any idea if there's even any grounds for this, but as maybe a man of slight stature, but a wiry, stout individual who just the very presence of his character was something that would encourage people. The kind of guy who may have gotten pushed around a little bit, but who didn't really wilt when things got hard. I've always seen the Apostle Paul as a very strong character. And when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 10 verses, the first few verses, verses 1 through 4, talk about some of the visions that he'd had, things that he's been permitted to see and things that he'd been permitted to hear that were just unbelievable, unmentionable, in fact, in some ways. In verses 5 through 7, he talks about boasting. The things that he had seen were the kind of things that some people would boast about, that some people would enjoy talking about and making sure everybody knew that they'd been there or that they'd done that or that they'd seen that or what have you. And then he says in verse 7, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then am I strong. G.J. Russo, in his memoirs of the years that he spent as a missionary in the southern part of the dark continent of Africa, wrote about the times when the great swarms of locusts would come into the land, and the locusts were of the particularly large variety. Some of them would be 6 inches long. And he said they would come in by the billions, and the skies would literally be black. And the natives in the area where he was would gather all of the cattle that they could round up. And as the locusts began to swarm in and light and consume every single living plant, they would drive the cattle back and forth all around and allow the cattle to trample the locust to death into the ground before they had an opportunity to lay their eggs. He says the years of the locust were years of famine. But without fail, the next year would always bring the greatest and most abundant harvests because of the fertilization of the ground with all of the carcasses of the dead locusts. I'm reminded of that story when I read about Paul talking about the strength in weakness. The object of Christian training is to become strong, spiritually strong. And yet even in our spiritual strength, there will always be mingled in the characteristics of human weakness. As long as we're inhabitants of this earth, we will possess the traits of humanity, and we will have from time to time difficulties and problems that are associated with physical life and existence on this side of eternity. But I want to suggest to you, based on what Paul says here in this passage, that even in our difficulties, in fact, at times when it seems like every single thing is against us and nothing seems to be working, when sorrow is piled upon us upon top of sorrow, when hardship seems to be our closest friend, when financial reversal seems these days to be just right around the corner, when the body becomes frail and sick and doesn't seem to possess any more the ability to recover its strength, there is the potential for strength in that time of weakness. Now, there's nothing inherently good about weakness in itself. But weakness in our lives of a physical nature holds the potential to allow God to bring some of the greatest strengths to the top. As I said a few minutes ago, there are all kinds of problems and hindrances and weaknesses that come upon us. Some of them are the results of our own blunders. Sometimes the way that we have lived in the past haunts us, so to speak. And we may perhaps never outlive the memories of those times when we lived in the way that we insisted was our way. Sometimes weakness and difficulty comes just simply by virtue of the number of years we have lived here on this earth. There are some folks in this congregation who have logged in many, many years as God's servants, and you are such an encouragement to the rest of us. When it seems that the difficulties and the sicknesses pile up and are so, got to be so hard, and yet you're always here. What strength, what encouragement. There are some weaknesses that come upon us from birth, and there are some of those kind of weaknesses that we can never escape. Handicaps, difficulties, and yet there are those kind of things that we have to learn to live with. Wait a minute, I didn't mean to say learn to live with it. What I meant to say is learn to use it. Those things that we sometimes shove over into the corner as discarded items of weakness may indeed hold the potential to bring out some of the greatest strengths. And so I believe I can identify here in this passage that we've just read several things that remind us of the strength that is in weakness. There are four or five of them. And so let's begin now. Number one, weakness can make us cautious. If we become sensitive to our own weaknesses, and if we become distrustful of some of the things that some people claim as their greatest strengths, that weakness can make us cautious in the face of many things. It can make us cautious in the face of temptation. You'll notice what Paul said here in regard to this great experience that he'd had, or experiences. He says, I'm tempted to boast. I'm tempted to become conceited. But he says, if I may paraphrase, God has blessed me with this affliction, this thorn in the flesh, to remind me how careful I need to be when the devil wants me to be puffed up. In verse 7, he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Weakness can make us cautious. Number two, consider the fact that our weakness also has the potential to make us more dependent upon God, upon His help. Remember the answer that Paul said he got, even though he prayed to God three times that this, whatever this affliction was, could be taken away from him. But he said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is perfected in weakness. When we become excessively strong and proud of our strength, we're reminded of the weakness of strength when we need to be focusing on the strength of weakness. In fact, it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul warned against the weakness of strength. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, he talks about the strength of weakness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you think you're strong, be careful, because strong ones fall. But when you see all of this weakness in your life, remember, God can bring strength out of it. Number three, we need to always remember that our weakness, if we will allow it to, can help us to become more efficient. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why you sit down now to tie your shoes instead of bending over at the waist. When you see something on the floor that needs to be picked up, you wait until there are two of them down there and you can bend over one time and get them. You're more efficient because it's harder than it used to be. Your body's weak. But in a spiritual sense, the principle works the same way. If I have a shortcoming, I can become more efficient. And I may not be able to do that, but I can do this with God's help. Moses said, Lord, I'm not a speaker. Here's Aaron. He'll do it. Take him with you. Our weaknesses can make us more efficient. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul talked about the good things that had come about as a result of his imprisonment. He said, brethren, don't feel sorry for me. Don't weep for me because I'm in this Roman prison. He said, you know what's happened? The whole prison has learned about the cause of Christ. Even the Praetorian Guard has stopped to listen. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn of thy statutes. Number four, our weaknesses can help us to be more sympathetic to others who are weak. We've got a common bond that's above and beyond all of these young, strong whippersnappers that don't have any problems. We can relate. In fact, that's what the writer of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 2, as he talks about the high priest, and of course he's talking about how important Jesus is in filling the role now as our high priest. But he talks about the high priest under the law in chapter 5 of Hebrews. And verse 2, he mentions one of the characteristics of the high priest. And this is also one of the characteristics of Jesus. He says he can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Specifically of Jesus, he said it this way, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Not insensitive to our weaknesses, because he went through some of the same problems. Our weakness can make us more sympathetic, can help us to realize that we do have time to pay attention to those who are weaker, who are having problems, who are in difficult situations. And then number five, our weakness and the afflictions that sometimes come as a result of weakness can actually be the oven in which spiritual character is baked to perfection. The oven in which spiritual character is baked to perfection. One of the most encouraging things that I find in my experience as a gospel preacher is to be around those people who, as they near the end of their life, and as it is obvious to them and to everyone else that they are nearing the end of their days on this earth, as they exhibit a strength that is born out of that weakness, character is the byproduct of experience that never has it easy. And so Paul said in verse 10 of this chapter, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We all have our various weaknesses. Some are noticeable, some are hidden. Every now and then, sometimes we feel like we want to wear them on our sleeve. And I guess there's nothing terribly wrong with that if you don't make a big long habit of it. But think about the strength that can come from that weakness with God's help. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.